Given that it's just after Christmas and things have been fairly hectic, and I thought since we're on kind of holidays, we'd do something a little different for our sermon today, and that is we're going to have a little bit of story time. As some of you may know, my parents work in a mission which records simple gospel messages in different languages around the world. And one of the things that I had the privilege of being trained in when I was at college was doing storytelling by a mission called Wycliffe Bible Translators. Wycliffe is a mission which works in lots of different countries around the world to translate the Bible into languages which don't already have it. But the thing is, most people in the world are illiterate. They're not able to read. And so how is it, how can you communicate the good news of Jesus to people who can't read the Bible even if it gets translated? And so one of the things that Wycliffe has been doing is developing this storytelling technique where local pastors are trained to tell Bible stories, and then they go out to different villages and share the gospel just through the stories. There's lots of stories in the Bible. Just through the stories in the Bible. So I thought for something a little bit different, a little bit more relaxing, perhaps a little bit engaging of a different part of your brain, this morning we're going to hear the next chapter in the story of Christmas. And afterwards, I'll tell it to you once, and then I'm going to tell you five questions. And I'm going to throw the floor over to you to see what you learn from the story. And we'll have sort of a little informal Bible study. It's a bit of an experiment. I'm not sure how it's going to go. We're all in this together, though. So anyway, we'll see how we go. So I'll tell you the story, tell you what the questions are. I'll tell you the story again so you can remember it. And then we'll have our discussion. So, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, wise men came from the east, and they came to Herod and they said, "Where is the baby born King of the Jews? Look, we saw his star in the east, and we've come to worship him." Now, when Herod heard this, he and all of Jerusalem with him were greatly disturbed. And so Herod called together all the chief priests and teachers of the law, and he asked them, "Where is the Christ, God's promised king, to be born?" Now the chief priests and teachers of the law said, "He's going to be born in Bethlehem in Judea, because this is what the prophet said, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of the tribe of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be a shepherd to my people Israel.' So Herod went and secretly called the wise men to him, and he asked them, 'Now tell me, when did you first see the star in the east? Look, go to the town of Bethlehem, make a careful search, and when you found the boy, come and tell me, because I want to worship him too.' So after they'd spoken with Herod, the wise men continued on their way, and the star that they had seen in the east appeared again in the sky, and they followed it until it came to rest over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. And so they came to the house, and they went in, and they saw there the child and his mother Mary, and they bowed down and they worshipped him. And then they opened their treasures and gave him gifts of gold, incense, and myrrh. But having been warned in a dream, 'Don't go back to Herod,' they returned to their country via another route. Now after the wise men had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. And the angel said, 'Joseph, take your wife and the boy and go to the land of Egypt and stay there until I tell you, because Herod is going to try and kill the boy.' And so Joseph got up and he took the boy and his mother, and in the middle of the night they left and went to the land of Egypt. And so was fulfilled what was written, what God had said through the prophet, 'Out of Egypt I called my son.' Now, when Herod realized that he had been tricked by the Magi, the wise men, he was furious, and he commanded, "Kill all the boys in Bethlehem and in the surrounding areas, 2 years old or younger," because that was the time that corresponded with when the wise men had said they'd first seen the star. And so it was fulfilled what was written in the prophet Jeremiah. There's a voice crying in Ramah, weeping and great mourning. Rachel is crying for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. Now, after Herod had died, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph and said, "Joseph, take the boy and his mother and go back to the land of Israel, because the one who's seeking the boy's life is dead." And so Joseph took Mary and Jesus, and they went back to the land of Israel. But Joseph heard that Archelaus, Herod's son, was reigning in Judea in his father's place, and so he was afraid. But he was warned in a dream, and so he went north to the land of Galilee. And there the family settled in a town called Nazareth. And so was fulfilled what had been said by the prophets, "He'll be called a Nazarene." And that's the next chapter, the story of Jesus that we celebrate at Christmas. So my five questions for you, before I tell you the story again, you can think about it while I'm going to tell you the story. The five questions, very, very simple. Number one is, what does this story tell you about God? Number two is, what does this story tell you about people? Number three, what do you like in this story? Number four, what might some people not like in this story? And number five, what can you do in response to the story? So the first one, what does the story tell you about God? Second, what does it tell you about people? What do you like about it? What might some people not like? And what can you do in response? So are you ready for the story again? With your ears primed? Because I'm going to ask you those questions. Okay, let's see how we go. So this is how it happened. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, wise men came from the east. And they said to Herod, "Where is the one who is born king of the Jews? Look, we saw his star in the east and we've come to worship him." Now when Herod heard this, he and all of Jerusalem with him were greatly distressed. And so Herod called together all the chief priests and teachers of the law, and he said to them, "Where is the Christ, God's promised king, going to be born?" The chief priests and teachers of the law said, "In Bethlehem, in Judea, because this is what the prophet said, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, because out of you will come a ruler who will be a shepherd for my people Israel.'" And so Herod went and secretly called the wise men. And he said to them, "Now tell me, when did you first see the star in the east? Look, go to Bethlehem and make a careful search for the boy. And when you found him, come and tell me, because I too want to worship him." So when they'd finished speaking with Herod, the wise men went on their way. And the star that they'd seen in the east appeared again, and they followed it till it came to rest over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. And so they came to the house and they went inside, and there they found the child with his mother. And they bowed down and worshipped him. And then they opened their treasures and gave to him gifts of gold, incense, and of myrrh. But they'd been warned in a dream, "Do not go back to Herod." And so they returned to their own country by a different route. Now, after the wise men had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. The angel said, "Joseph, take your son and his mother and go to the land of Egypt and stay there until I tell you, because King Herod is going to try and kill the boy." So Joseph got up, and with his wife and the boy, in the middle of the night, they left for the land of Egypt. And so was fulfilled what is written, what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." Meanwhile, when Herod realized that he'd been tricked by the wise men, he was furious and he commanded, kill all the boys in Bethlehem and the surrounding areas, 2 years old or younger. And this was the time that corresponded with when the wise men had first seen the star. And so this fulfilled what the prophet Jeremiah had said. A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning. Rachel is weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. Now when Herod had died, an angel of the Lord appeared again to Joseph. And the angel said to him, Joseph, take the boy and his mother and go back to the land of Israel, because the one who is seeking the child's life is dead. And so Joseph got up and took Mary and Jesus, and they went back to the land of Israel. Now when Joseph heard that Archelaus, Herod's son, was ruling in his father's place in Judea, he was afraid. Once again, he was warned in a dream, and so he went north to the land of Galilee. And there the family settled in a town called Nazareth. And so was fulfilled what the prophets had said, he will be called a Nazarene. Well, it's riveting stuff, isn't it? It's a great story. It's over to you now. Would anyone like to tell me what did you learn in this story about God? What does this story tell you about God? Yes, Lance. Big voice.
It does show to me that Egypt at that particular time was a very lukewarm and open society. It may not be so now, today. So in the past, it was welcoming for different people, but I think that that has passed, if one can read the current news.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? What did the story tell you about God? Yes, Bethany. Big voice. Yeah, terrific. So Jesus was born in Bethlehem and not Galilee, even though that's where he grew up. Yes, Arthur.
God knows the hearts and motives of all people.
Yeah, God knows the hearts and motives of all people. Yeah, terrific. Yes, Joey. Yeah, so God had a plan and he was always working and moving to execute that plan to save us. Yes, Fabienne.
God's plans are not thwarted.
Yeah, God's plans are not thwarted. Yeah, even though Herod did his best to do that. Yeah. Yes, Jean.
God is all-powerful.
God's all-powerful. Yeah, terrific. Anyone else like to say something they learnt about God from the story? We'll move on to the next question. Yes, somebody up the back there? Yes? No? Yes? Camille? Sorry? Yeah. Yeah, so God sometimes deals directly with people in dreams. That certainly happened a bit to Joseph. Let's move on to the next question. What did you learn from the story about people? Yes, Fabienne.
Some people believe God and some don't.
Yeah, some people believe God and some don't. That's right. Yes, Anne.
We all like to have someone or something that we worship and we'll go to great lengths to do that.
Yeah, so we all like to have someone or something we'll worship and we go to great lengths to do that. Yes, Jane.
Some people obey the will of God, and obviously some don't.
Yep.
It's best to obey the will of God because God will come back if you don't.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so some people obey the will of God and some don't, and it's best to obey God. Yeah, that's right. There is that promise of God's coming judgment. Yes. Yes, Susan. Oh, Ada, sorry.
People in power are corrupt and they have by holding power in the world. They're subscribing to that power.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So sometimes people in power are corrupted by that power, and that makes them oppose God and his purposes for the world. Yes, Mark?
It seems that a number of people were motivated by fear, inheritance, fear that you'd lose power. Joseph was in fear when he found his life. But the fear is a very common thread throughout people's lives.
Yep. Yeah, so Herod was motivated by fear that he was going to lose his power, and Joseph was afraid too, afraid for his family's life, and that's very common for all of us, that we are often driven by our fears. Yes, Anne?
One of the things about that fear was that Joseph still was afraid, even though he definitely knew that God was looking after him through the dreams and through what had happened, but he still had fear.
Yep.
I think that's helpful for us sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, so even though Joseph knew that God was looking after them, God had appeared, you know, sent the angel to him in some dreams, he was still afraid. And it can be like that for us too. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yes, and John? No? Okay. Yes, Camille?
There were people everywhere seeking God. At the moment, John
was
chosen grace, but they were still seeking.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. So the Magi, who weren't from God's chosen people, they were astrologers, actually. They were seeking God, and God in his grace actually spoke to them as well and pointed them to his son. Terrific. Well, next, John, yes.
One of the things I find striking is the story of Herod putting together the chief priests and teachers of the law, and the scribes, who
Yeah. So Herod asked the chief priests and teachers where the Christ is going to be born, but they didn't ask back. What's going on, Herod? Why are you interested all of a sudden? Yeah. Yes. Yes, Fabian.
Yeah, and they had the information.
Yes, they knew straight away when he asked.
And
yeah.
No,
that's right. So they didn't act on that. Okay, so the next question is, what do you like about the story? Yes. What do people like about the story? Yes, Anne.
It has a happy ending.
Somebody said that in the last service as well. The good guys win, that's right. No, we're very thankful for that, aren't we? It does show God is in charge. Yeah, absolutely. Mark, Anne stole your thunder there. Okay, that's all right.
Sorry, Mark.
Okay, you've got something else? Yes, Mark?
Looking at the prophecies were used by people for good and evil. I don't know if it's something like that, sorry, it's just something I'm aware of. That the prophecy of where Christ was to be born in Bethlehem was used by Herod to do evil to people in Bethlehem. So it's not just a thing of future hope. It can be a pretty double-edged sword.
Yeah, so the prophecies there can be used for good or evil, because Herod, even though he was told exactly the right thing, here's where the Christ is going to be, he didn't actually use it for good. He used it for evil. Yes, Lance?
Was Herod's son a better king than his father was?
Well, he certainly didn't reign as long as his father did. And the short answer is, the Romans actually, he did such a bad job that the Romans actually had to take his kingdom off him, and that's why Judea was ruled by Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor, when Jesus was executed rather than a Jewish king. So that's the short answer. Thanks, Lance. Okay, what about something that people might not like in the story? Yes, Camille.
Damage.
Sorry?
First aid is collateral damage.
Yeah, collateral damage. It's horrible, isn't it? What this guy, kind of drunk on his own power, would do to protect his power, killing the innocents. Yeah, and that's a bit unsettling for us, isn't it? That these things happened in God's plan too. Yep. Yes, Ron.
It tells me that there is doing nothing different to what's happening in Syria today or anywhere else where it's a ruler once he gets to power.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Herod's very similar to the rulers of the world even today, who do anything to hang on to their power, and see that in places like Syria. Yeah, it's very sad. Yes, Maria?
Just thinking, maybe realise that God's plan isn't always a plan. There are things that we don't like. Horrendous things like slaughtering all the little babies. But in the end, God's plan always works out the best.
Yeah, so God's plan isn't always plain sailing. There's things that happen sometimes that we don't like, but it works out for the best. Yeah. And our last question is, what's something that you can do in response to the passage? What's something you can take away from it for this week? Yes, John.
This is what I was going to say before, but let's go to this question. Obedience.
Yeah, obedience.
Obedience is the example where the wise men were obedient when they heard the word of God and dressed and prompt.
Actually,
we need to be willing to step out of our comfort zone and
be God. Yeah, so the wise men and Joseph obeyed God's word promptly, and we need to be ready to obey God's word, and sometimes that's going to be stepping outside of our comfort zone. Yeah, fantastic. Yeah, even if it's different from what a king's told us to do. Yeah. Yes, Jane.
About having absolute trust in God, because there are situations in our lives that we may be fearful of, we don't want to go down or go through, but we must just completely trust in God and walk through those fears. Ask in his hands and feet.
Yep. Yeah, so trusting in God in the midst of life, and particularly in our fears, and seeking to follow after him in that. Yeah, that's fantastic. Everyone else?
I often wonder if Joseph's fears, and they have fear and dream, not seven dreams,
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Yes. So maybe Joseph's, what was going on for him in his life made him more receptive to hearing God's speaking to him at that time. Yeah. Yes, yeah. So God had spoken to him beforehand. Yeah. Well, I'm always struck by the two approaches to Jesus of the wise men and Herod. You know, the wise men, there's a genuineness, and they come and they worship Christ as King and Saviour. And Herod, there's a, you know, on the surface he wants to worship, but actually he wants, he's not going to let this little boy be a threat to him, and so he'll get rid of him. And there's two options, I suppose, for us in responding when we always hear God's word and responding to Christ, isn't there? There's a worship, or there's a denying him, trying to suppress what God's doing. Well, thank you for joining me in our experiment this morning. I hope you've enjoyed the story and our little discussion about it. You can, you know, keep talking over morning tea afterwards. I've heard it's going to be quite good. But let me just pray, and then we'll move on to the next bit of our service. Father, we thank you for speaking to us through the scriptures. We thank you for your grace and mercy to us coming in the Lord Jesus. We thank you that we can see that These things happened according to your plan, promised hundreds of years before and come true in the birth of Christ. We pray that we'd have a sober judgment of ourselves, recognizing where we too can be tempted. And Father, we pray that you would have mercy on this world and restrain the hands of evil men who seek to do anything they can to shore up their own power. Father, we pray that we would be obedient when we hear your word, to respond to you in faith, trusting you even in the midst of our fears. And we thank you that you are working all things according to your will, bringing glory to Christ. And we pray, Father, that we would worship him as the kings did, following the star, pointing to him. And we ask all these things through Christ our Lord. Amen.